But we got, as always, lots of questions. I watch the games and I look at certain plays. And just because I know our audience is Edmonton, I'll focus a few of those plays and then we'll get to some of the other ones around the league. There was a Patrick Watkins who got an interference call in the game against BC. He was on the near side of the field. If you want it on your TV screen, he was at the bottom side of the TV screen. The pass went to the top, the far side of the field. And really, it was like one little tug on the jersey. Now, if they want to call it holy, or they call it illegal contact on the receiver after 5 yards, fine. My question is, it's on the total opposite side where the ball is going. The quarterback wasn't ever looking to that side of the field. It was a very quick developing play. That really doesn't impact it. How come that's called?
At the beginning of the year, we set the standard that as long as the field was in play, that we wouldn't allow the contact. We are starting to ease off on that slightly. We're looking to increase the degree of judgment the official would have on essentially field in play part of the standard. I agree with you. In fact, although I'm not evaluating that game, I spoke with the official that threw the flag and suggested to him that if I were evaluating the game, I would not have given him a zero on it. Zero meaning that the flag was appropriate or acceptable. I also suggested to the Eskimo coaching staff two things. One, that I didn't agree with the flag. And secondly, that Pat should get his hands off the guys a little quicker.
Also, there's some roughing the passer. Called. I know a lot of people were kind of perplexed about the Willie Jefferson one.
Yeah.
And then even this Sewell and the one on number 90 for BC, they all kind of happened in succession. Give us your take on the Jefferson one.
Well, as Glenn Johnson said earlier, we're striving for consistency, and I don't believe that we were sufficiently consistent in that ball game. What we need to do is to ensure that our referees have a absolutely consistent standard. And what we're trying to do now is to keep quarterbacks alive as long as we possibly can. So what that means is less contact is better. And we've been communicating that to the teams. So in my personal opinion, it is on the teams to, as best as possible, avoid that that contact, late contact on the quarterback. Certainly, there is no gray area when you're talking about hits to the head or low hits. So, we could look at them individually. I think that there was at least one on Edmonton that shouldn't have been called, and there were probably a couple the other way that might have been called. So this stuff tends to work out in the wash. There wasn't anything that I saw in Thursday's game, and I will say I watched Thursday's game as a fan with a couple of beer beside me, so I'm not looking at it as intently as I would be if I were working the game. But there was nothing that I saw in that game that really necessarily changed the course of the football game.
I would agree with that. But I do think at times that, certain penalties, if they extend drives.
Yes.
Right? Like the field position, who knows? And I just, to me, when, like, and I understand you want to protect the quarterbacks, but the best example I can give is, so the quarterback passes the ball to the receiver. It goes off his hands. 1-2, and the DB comes in and hammers him.
Mm-hmm.
There's never a call. The quarterback throws the ball, 1, and the DB will lift his hands up, run into him, and it's 15-yard penalty.
Right.
So, not that I want every, because it's a physical game, but, and I understand the quarterback's important, but at times, I talked to Mike Riley about this, and, hey, man, you shouldn't be able to hit the quarterback, kind of as a joke. And I do know that some teams are now telling their guys, to tackle the quarterback, you can't hit him. Because if you hit the guy, it seems like it's going to be a flag automatically. But is there a way to have it so... Because we saw the BC guy lift his hands up when he was running into Matt Nichols. And Nichols like went down in super slow motion. It was not a vicious play. Clearly was not hurt. So should there be a way to say, okay, like that's, yes, it's contact, but it's not roughing the passer because he really barely touched him.
interesting point. So almost some form of minor foul, 10-yard penalty rather than a 15
yarder. Yeah, or even a five or something, or even nothing. Because to me, when it shows clear attempt, like these guys are running fast, the ball goes and you're within a step and you lift your hands up, you can't just stop your momentum. It's physically impossible.
Right.
Right?
Yes, although it is interesting how these athletes can maneuver, notwithstanding the fact that they've got 320-pound frames. These guys are ballerinas. Like, they can move. If they want to, if they have to, they can get themselves
around. Well, I saw the guy lift his hands up, slide to the left.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what more you can ask from the guy.
Sure.
Because if he puts his hand down and tries to brace himself, the minute the quarterback feels his hands on him, you know they're going to go soccer-ish.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a lot of guys in the CFL that are going to...
Well, they soccer might be... That might be in a stretch. But you know what I'm saying.
So... I think it's a point that you and I will agree to disagree on, but you did make another point, and that is the stuff that happens on the receivers on incomplete passes down the field.
Mm-hmm.
And my personal view there is that we've got to do more to protect those guys, because you can end careers. You can cuss guys. You put guys out for weeks, and there's absolutely nothing that gets done about it. And I do think we've got to do a better job there, and the DBs have to do a better job of not teeing off on those receivers. The play is over. There's no need for you to put your shoulder into the middle of the guy's back and put him into infirmary.
How long will it take you to evaluate? Would it take a guy to evaluate the Saskatchewan-Hamilton game, Saskatchewan-Toronto game, because there's so many infractions?
That'd be a 10-hour job.
10 hours.
Yes.
And when you're evaluating the play, how many times do you watch it over?
It depends on what's going on in the play. I have spent as long as 30 minutes on one play. You know, if there is something difficult, you might have... I mean, there are some plays where there are three or four situations, complex situations, where we've got penalties that have been called or fouls that have not been penalized, and I have to be able to explain to Toronto my thought process on it. And so in some cases I've written full page memos on one play in a football game, and it can take me 30 minutes to get through one play, and then I've got to go and have a cup of coffee or something and start over again, because it's
special teams play.
The play that I'm thinking of in particular, no, that was a defensive hit on a quarterback.
Oh, the one on Mike Riley a few years ago?
You're not going to get a complete answer from me, but no.
No.
Off air.
Off air, all right. We'll see. Okay, I'm very curious, but I could see, because there was some. I know that when Riley got rocked twice by the same guy, and there was no call, Eskimo fans were, I thought rightfully so, upset over that. Hopefully, we will see no repeat performance from the teams or the officials from what happened in the Toronto Saskatchewan game this weekend. But that you'd love to see a game like Hamilton when you only had 11 flags.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, the Saturday game went down to the very last play of the game.
Oh yeah, no.
So it was good to watch from that perspective. It was just a little excruciating that every third or fourth play had an infraction on it.
Bud, we'll talk to you next. Actually, Mark Mugeot will talk to you next Tuesday, because I'll be on holidays.
I am very much looking forward to putting the kid through the ringer.